doubt in this world, I don't think, but he's an on-time God. Every time. Hallelujah. I'm glad that you're in the house of prayer this morning. I believe I've got a word from the Lord. I don't say that flippantly. But I've got a lot of scripture. And I've got the idea of revive thy works. And we'll go to the book of Psalm, and then we'll go to the book of Haggai, and then we'll go to the book of Psalms again, and on and on. I can rejoice, and I'm saying I because I think it covers human spectrum. I can rejoice over something that happened to me this morning, if it did, easier than I can rejoice over something that happened 430 years ago. I don't debate the reality of the 430 years ago. I don't quibble over it and say, well, I wonder if that's true. I just accept that that's real. But I'm so detached from it that it doesn't register with me. Like if I went to the doctor this morning and he said, your cancer is gone, that resonates. I mean, I'm still not doubting the 430 years ago, but I'm rejoicing over this morning. Does it make sense to you? And I believe that the Holy Ghost is stirring the church up so we will have something to rejoice about this morning, tomorrow morning. We believe yesterday. We've experienced it through the history books and through the Bible. But we need to rejoice. We need to have something to rejoice over. Please, do you understand what I'm saying? We need to have something tangible that we can point to Jackie Anderson and say he had a problem, but it disappeared. Or Brother Kenny and Sister Nancy's grandson, gone, disappeared, the cancer or whatever it was. We can rejoice over that. I can rejoice over that. I know that three Hebrew boys went in the fire furnace. That's a fact. But that, we've heard that so, oh, y'all don't. But when I hear about a child going to the doctor and the doctor saying the problem's gone, faith begins to leap up in my spirit. Am I the only one? Now you go with me in the book of Psalms, 85 and verse number 6. Wilt thou not revive us again? Again? That is signifying there had been a previous time of revival. Now, why does he want to be revived? Listen, look at that verse. Why is it that he wants to be revived? He's got logic. That say it good. I want to be revived that thy people can rejoice in you. Look at it again. Wilt thou not revive us again? Why? That thy people may rejoice. A revived people is an experience in people. Hello? And the implication is if revival is absent, rejoicing no longer exists. Revival and rejoicing go together. Okay, are y'all with me now? The book of Habakkuk. Chapter 3 and verse number 2. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive, listen, thy work. Grace is not a work. Mercy is not a work. Goodness is not a work. They may lead to works, but deeds and works are inseparable. The deeds of God, the works of God. Am I talking to anybody? Revive thy work. There Jesus could do no mighty works. I'm talking to somebody. Works have to do with the work of God's hand, the agenda. Revive thy work, the work of delivering, the work of liberating, the work of bringing people out of the spiritual prison. He came to set the captive free. In him we have life, and we have it more abundantly. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. At some point, we sag down. In the wrath, in the midst of the years, make known. Revive your work. Let us know what's going on. And in wrath, remember mercy. All right, now we've said in the first verse, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice? Amen? In the second section we just read, revive thy work in the midst of the years. You can ride this boat so long that you forget the excitement of it. You can ride this spiritual, this Christian boat so long that it no longer holds intrigue to you. It happens. That's why Jesus said, you've departed from your first love. But we need to have a freshness of, and that's why Haggai is crying, revive thy work in the midst of the years. We've been on this journey for a long time, and we're just tired. Oh, hallelujah. Okay. We're going to go to John chapter. I'm kind of skipping a little bit, Brother Tim. We're going to go to John chapter 9 and verse number 1 through 3. Is that going to mess you up in your continuity? Jesus passed by. He saw a man which was blind from his birth. Verse number 2. And his disciples ask him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Verse number 3. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works, there's that word, hello, that the works of God should be made manifest in him. The miracles of God. You hear me carefully this morning. Whether your problem is mental, physical, emotional, or spiritual, God's will is that you be freed from your problem. Can I get that in your head? You do not have to come up here and say, if it be thy will. His will is clearly revealed. When you come up here, say, it is your will that I be free of this issue. Hello. I feel so. There's a perplexity. There's a road, a path that Christians trod. And they're always in danger of going to the left or the right. If you go to the left, you consign the miracles to the Bible. I know I'm teaching. If you drift to the left, you're saying, I know it happened, but that's yesteryear. That's in the past. And that is where the church trods. We don't debate the reality of Lazarus being in the grave and coming out. We don't debate the miracles of God, the lepers being cleansed. But at the same time, we doubt that it's going to happen today. And it's a lot easier to doubt than it is to believe. By instinct, we doubt. Am I talking to anybody? We doubt. But if we go to the right of this path, we become afraid that we'll be too reckless. Well, if I preach on faith and nobody gets healing, then I'm going to have pie in my face. So we cower down. Somebody's got to throw the shackles off. Somebody's got to throw caution to the wind. I am not your healer. I am not your deliverer. My job is to lay hands upon you. My job is to have people gather around you and pray. You and God get the healing worked out. We do it, but that the works of God, what is the works of God? They could do no mighty works in Mark chapter 6. He goes to Nazareth and he except lay his hands upon a few sick people. Do you remember reading that? Because that's the Son of God. That's Jesus of Nazareth. And he didn't say he would not. He could not. Because their unbelief put handcuffs on him. He went to other villages and he did mighty works. But in his own hometown, he could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. So we're establishing something. Works equates to miracles. Do you understand that? The works of God, were the works of God, John Doe saved, that's a wonderful thing. Nothing equates to that. But that's not the work of God. Am I talking to anybody? All right. 1 Corinthians is going to bother you, throw you out of rhythm to go to, okay, he's already. For what man, listen, I'm teaching you now, what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man? I'm talking to you, and because I'm a man, I understand your thoughts. Hello? I can go out and talk to a Missouri mule, and I have no idea what thoughts that they've got. I can talk to some whatever, but look, what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Listen to me. You will never, you can have a string of degrees behind your name. You can pronounce every word in this Bible eloquently, but you will never understand spiritual things with a natural mind. Never. You can pray, you can wrestle, you can say, I think the Greek means this and the Hebrew means that. But until you get a renewed mind, it will not make one bit of sense to you. But when you get a renewed mind, the things that used to be fuzzy and debatable suddenly comes clear. Oh, hallelujah. Am I talking to you? Okay, I think we've got another verse through verse 16. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Now why? Why have we received it? That we might know. That's why we need to have the principles of God's word taught and preached in our church, so that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You're never going to know them without a spiritual mind. He gives us all things that pertain to peace and godliness. He gives us great and exceeding wonderful promises, but I will never understand them with my natural mind. But we receive the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely. And if you know they're freely given, if you know they're part of yours, the devil can't take it away from you. Is anybody receiving anything? Go ahead. Which things also we speak not in the words which men's wisdom teaches us, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Go ahead. But the natural man, you got that? Receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Listen to me. Because they're foolishness to him. Here's the theory. Yeah, I went and visited the Alley Good Church, and they're preaching, hooping, hollering, and they're talking about being healed, but I don't believe all that stuff. That's the natural mind. That's the natural mind. And as long as that mind dominates you, you're going to get nothing. Nothing. But when you move away from the natural mind, but God has, because they're spiritually discerned, that is so strong. Well, I read that and I don't understand that. You will never understand it. It's a spiritual issue. Nicodemus said, how can I, do I go back in my mother's womb? And Jesus said, you don't understand this. You're operating with a natural mind. You're talking about how these things can happen. It's a spiritual thing. Okay, go to verse 15. He that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. And finally, the last verse. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we, somebody say we, have the mind of Christ. We see things differently than we used to. We see things differently than the world does. Now, we in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, we see through a glass darkly, but, you know, but we don't see fully, but we see clearly compared to what we used to. Am I talking to you? Now, can we go back to Psalm 145? I will extol, I know I'm taking time, but I'm not wasting time. If you know how to fight your enemy, you can defeat your enemy. And the great problem is we know we have an enemy, but we're limited in our capability and our knowledge of how to fight him. The Bible says resist him. And sometimes we need to understand what that word resist means. Don't give him a quarter in your life. Don't give him place in your life. Don't give him debate place. When your mind starts debating, well, I think that I'm not sure this is real, you have given him place. Settle it in your mind. If God said it, the issue is over. Somebody said, God said it and I believe it. God said it whether you believe it or not. Amen? I know we're not running, but I'll tell you one thing, I'm running on the inside. Okay, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Continue as we, every day will I bless thee and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Wow. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall, this is it right here, right here. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. How does the next generation follow? How do these children, what are they going to inherit? Are they going to inherit the same typology? Are they going to inherit a theory? We are obligated to pass upon the next generation what we have experienced. And if we've not experienced it, we can't pass it. We need to be able to tell our children the God that your granddaddy is serving is a real God. The God that your mother and father are serving is a real God. He's not a type. It's not a methodology. He's the living God. But we are obligated to pass it. We are obligated to tell our children that God is Jehovah Jireh. He provides, that God is Jehovah Rapha. He's a healer. He's a sustainer. He's omnipotent. He's the almighty God. Brother Kenny was waxing eloquent on it. We need to brag about God. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is he. Hallelujah to God. You know what? When you hear something convincingly, when you hear something with conviction in it, enough time, you begin to believe it. And when you begin to believe it, that's faith. And when you turn your faith loose, miracles come. Now, I don't know who's going to get a miracle this morning. I don't know whether the seed of a miracle is going to be planted. I don't have any, I'm not clean. But I do know one thing. The atmosphere is right for a miracle to take place. It could be a total, complete miracle, done deal, or it could be a miracle that's in the making. If I was in this auditorium this morning and I had pain in my body, I'd search with all of my heart to get a hold of the Word of God. I wouldn't be worrying about, is he talking too loud? Is he talking too slow? Is he talking too fast? I wouldn't be worrying about all the mess that people get messed up with. I'd say, if he's preaching the Word of God, give it to me. Let me embrace it. Because after all, it's not the messenger, it's the message. Oh, dear Shalabakayanda. Hit me with the Word. Slap me in the face with the Word. Knock me over with the Word. Leave me laying, crippled, whatever, but bring the Word to me. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God will never pass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of God endureth forever. Great and mighty is the Word of God. He sent his Word. Do you know how to spell Word? J-E-S-U-S. He sent his Word. Not logo, not black letters on a white piece of paper. No, he sent Jesus. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hanging on the cross was the Word. God was hanging on that cross. He did not hang on that cross just to be notarized. He was not notorious. He was not worrying about fame and fortune. He went to that cross for you. He bore your sickness in his body on the tree. Do you hear what I'm saying? By his stripes, you. Does anybody feel that? We've got to ring the bell again. We got to bring the dust off the Bible and get the truth back before us again so that we can believe for the supernatural power of God Almighty. Okay, I will speak of thy glorious honor, of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. There's that word. Revive thy work again. And men shall speak of the mighty of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy great. I will declare thy, sitting in McDonald's drinking a cup of coffee with your friends, say, let me tell you about the God that I serve. He's bigger than big. He's greater than great. He's mightier than mighty. He's a keeper. He's a sustainer. He's a powerful. He's a provider. They look at you and after a while, you'll be drinking coffee by yourself. And they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness. The memory. Does anybody have a memory of what God has done in your life? How long has it been since you told somebody about that? He shall utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall, this is going to get you, and shall sing. We're going to come in this afternoon about 5:30, and we're going to hear the choir singing. There might be somebody sitting there, they might be singing a different song. Let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. He saved my soul and he set me free. I'm free indeed. Oh, he's drunk up there behind that. Yeah, I'm drunk, but not like you think I am. I don't have any LSD. I don't have any marijuana. I don't know that stuff. I don't need it. I got the love of God in my spirit, the power of God flowing in my body. My veins are on fire for God. My mind is generated by the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. Hallelujah to God. I don't get tired of serving him. I don't get weary with serving him. I'm not about to throw in the towel. I'm not about to turn back. I'm not about to give up. I've got going on my mind. Hallelujah to God. And I'm going on with Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah to God. Enough of this whining, and enough of this, I can't make it. Enough of this, I'm going through so much. I don't want to hear the mess. I want to hear somebody say, I know I can't lose because I'm winning. I can't stop because I'm going on. I can't be defeated because I'm going to be victorious. You hear it enough, you get to believe in it. Shall sing of thy righteousness. Roll on, brother. We got 21 verses in this. The Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Roll on. The Lord is good to all, and his tender miracle mercies are over all his works. He, compassion. He don't heal you because you're good. He don't heal you because you've done some good things. He heals you because he has compassion on you. He knows you can't heal yourself. He knows your money at the doctors and money down the drain. He says, if you call upon me out of my mercy, out of my compassion, I will step into your situation and I will do what you can't do. Hold on. To my word will see you through every battle. It will see you through everything that you have to encounter. But my word is my bond and my word is my power. Hold on to my word, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Would you like for me to continue? I feel like I would like to, whether you want to or not. Roll on. Thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. Quit talking about Donald Trump and Obama. Quit getting all messed up in your mind about the liberals and conservatives. You ain't got time for that mess. Eternity is looming before us. Heaven and hell is down the road, just a heartbeat away. Let the politicians politic. The issue's settled. I don't know what the outcome's going to be, but I do know what our outcome's going to be. I'm going to a city where the politicians will be no more. To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts. Tell that sick child, tell that wounded person, tell him that God is able. Brag on God. Exalt God. No matter how critical the situation seems to be, let God be bigger than the situation. Let God be the healer that he said he is. This thing has been burning in me, stirring in me for days now. It's just been eating me up. I felt the rebuke of the Lord that, I felt in my spirit of something saying in my mind, why would you hold back? Why would you pull the reins back in? Turn them loose. Let the word run swiftly. Go ahead. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Roll on. The Lord upholdeth all that fall. Somebody say all. The Lord raiseth up all those that be bowed down. Life will do that. Your health would do that. Your problems would do that. That's what the devil, the woman 18 years bowed over. And Jesus didn't do anything. He didn't manhandle her. He just said, woman, thou art loosed. And 18 years of poverty, 18 years of misery, 18 years of bowing over, looking at the dirt on the ground instead of the blue heavens, 18 years of watching bugs and worms scurry, rats and mice run, 18 years of no vision, but in one split second, Jesus said, thou art loose. She sees the sky bright and blue. She sees the heavens. She sees what she ain't never seen before, all because Jesus said, thou art loose. Somebody said it was her muscles that were, it was a spirit of infirmity. Am I talking to you? A living entity got in her body and began to twist her. It wasn't just arthritis or whatever. It was something constricting her. I don't care how holy you are. I don't care how sanctified you are. If that virus or that infirmity can get a hold of you, it'll restrict you. That doesn't mean you backslid. That means you've got to recognize why you're being attacked like that. And it's the devil. Don't just say, well, the virus is going around. Don't just brush it off. Now, I want to tell you something else. Maybe I'm waxing. I don't want to go beyond what I'm supposed to go beyond. But when all this flu stuff starts, I believe it's biblical for us to just draw a circle around ourselves and say, now, devil, you ain't getting in that circle. Do you believe that? I'm getting a lot more amens over here than I am over here. Do you believe that? Tell him. Don't ask him. Don't make a deal with him. I won't sing my special. If you won't bother me, I'll just be good. No, don't mess with him. Tell him where to go. Tell him. Oh, that's a loaded one. Tell him where to go. Get out. Okay. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. All right. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. Okay. The Lord is righteous in all of his ways and holy in all of his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. Is that good? To all that call upon him in truth. Roll on. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Two more verses, I think. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. And finally, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Can I tell you? I'm going to tell you whether I can or not. Let me tell you. You don't have to be cowered down by the devil. I don't care how bad you feel, how much pain is in your body, how much disappointment is in your life because of your children or your marriage or your whatever. You don't have to be conquered by that stuff. We are more. Thanks be unto God who always giveth us the victory. I look at Brother Fraley. I look at Sister Peggy's not here today, but they called in, couldn't come. I look at these people that are going through it physical. Brother Kenneth, hold your hand up, Brother Kenneth. Wednesday night you could hardly get in the building, but I saw you walking better this morning. That wasn't hot packs, hot pads. That wasn't, you know. Lord help me. How shall they hear without a preacher, and how shall he preach without being sent? Beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those that publish good news. I am a publisher of good news. I'm a proclaimer of truth. I tell where I find lies, I tell the truth. Where the devil said you're going to be defeated, I say you're going to be a winner. Where the devil says your grandmother died of this and it's coming down your turn back, I say, your grandmama died, so what? But that doesn't have one thing to do with what you're going to do. Well, the curse runs in my family. The curse runs in every family. We're products of the curse. But Jesus went to the cross and redeemed us from the curse. Do you hear what I'm saying? He redeemed us from the curse. Cursed is the man that hangeth upon the tree. He went to the tree and took our sickness. He took our pain. He took our sin. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for me. What you're grappling with, let me, I got 6 pages of notes and I got a young preacher coming tonight. Hey, brother, can you hold off until next week? Let me tell you, redemption has to do, and this is where the people get blurred. Redemption is bigger than salvation. Please understand. Redemption has not only to do with your soul. Redemption has to do with your body. We're redeemed from the curse. We've been liberated from the curse. Of course it covers your body. Your sickness, he bore your sickness on the tree. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all his good, and forget not all of his benefits, who healeth all thy, forgiveth all thy iniquities, and healeth all thy diseases. Redemption has to do with your, not just with your soul, it has to do with your body. And redemption's going to have to do with this earth one day. He's going to redeem this earth. He's going to redeem this earth. He's going to melt it down with fire. And all the mess upon it, this earth is groaning because of sin. That's what Romans 8 says. It's groaning because of sin. Let me go ahead. Am I talking to y'all? Let me see. If I was following my notes, where would I be? Habakkuk said, revive thy works again. That means that I love what went on in the past. And back in the 40s, and I'm closing. Back in the 40s and 50s and 60s, there was a revival. He cried, Habakkuk and Psalms cried, revive us again. Revive thy works. Amen. But what came out, Catherine Kuhlman, these great Jack Coe, Oral Roberts, Brantley, all of these great, they were not shenanigans. They were raised up by God Almighty for a purpose. And they revived the healing revival. They were effective in bringing the full gospel. When I grew up, that's what they used to call our kind of church, the full gospel churches. That wasn't a slander on other churches. That means that we just believed if God said it, it was settled. So Brantley and all of it, they brought the message of redemption and healing and deliverance back to the church. And all during those 40s and 50s and 60s and even into the mid-70s, Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International and so forth, great healings took place. But then it began to ebb down. It began to fade away. That generation, David Nunn, Shambach, and all, that generation began to die out. And when that generation died out, the healing revival began to subside. But we're living in 2017, and I can promise you that God is visiting His church again and elevating the gifts of the Spirit, ministering the power of the Holy Ghost, and we're going to see the revival. He said, "Will thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice?" There will be rejoicing coming down these aisles, rejoicing over what God has done and what God is doing. Rejoicing over what God has promised and what God has provided. There's going to be a revival in the land. Hallelujah to God. Can somebody say amen? I know Jesus is coming. I know prophecy is real. I enjoy it and all that. But great right now, the greatest thing on my mind is to be a link in the chain of revival. To do everything I can to get people's minds stirred up for the kind of revival, not just running the aisle, not just jumping up and down. I'm talking about a revival that will get us back in the Word of God again. A revival that will make the Scriptures palatable to us, where we want to eat the Word. A revival of love. Am I talking to you? I'm talking about love can die. Love can cool off. Jesus said it could. You've left your first love. We need a revival that will bring the love of God back among us. And if the love of God is among us, love for each other will exist. Somebody said the other night, I don't know what some service I was in. I don't know. I have no clue. But they said, when you go to a church and when the amen is said, 99% of the people scurry out the building without saying hello, you know you got a love problem. I mean, I like to hang around and hear your war stories. I mean, I'm nothing wrong with that. I like to hear what God has done for you. I like to hear you talk about the collard pot. The love of God. Would you stand with us? Hallelujah. I'll finish this, God willing, nothing will happen at some point. All right, musicians, come on. Hallelujah. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. I'm not going to sing it again. Does anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? Has anybody ever experienced the goodness of God in physical deliverance? Ikatalamosha. Has anybody ever been so touched by God that you even this morning, it makes your cup run over? It just makes you want to just do the jitterbug. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The old songwriter said, I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. Amen. Old things have passed away. Oh, grumbling, oh, complaining, oh, why me, oh, poor me. I got my foot on the rock and my mind made up. They're going to sing whatever it is they got chosen. I've offered a half a dozen suggestions. But
Jesus on the inside working.